make it into last night's game. 18 innings. What, 6 hours and 39 minutes or something? Like, oh my goodness. I made it to about the 14th inning, and I called it a night. 6-5 the final. The Dodgers win. We'll be talking more about that coming up. Do you think the Jays can still win the World Series? Do you have hope? We'll dig into that later this morning. The fight continues. Trump and Canada over the Ontario ad that has Donald Trump fuming. Trump is angry. Doug Ford is happy. Mark Carney's dismissive. And we still don't have a trade deal. We'll talk a little bit more about that coming up momentarily. Fluctuation in inflation and interest rates causing some interesting times in the banking industry. We always talk about it from an investment strategy standpoint, but what about lending? Rob Davis back from Kinexys to discuss banking in today's environment, and we'll be taking your questions as well. We'll do a check-in with the Saskatchewan Health Authority, and some recent research breakthroughs are showing promising results that could change the future for those living with Huntington's disease. I've got a couple great guests on the program later in the show today. All right, let's get going. Here is today's Big Talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show. The Big Talker.
There's so much going on federally right now. Budget coming down next week with a deficit so big it echoes. Still no trade deal with the states. Now a bit of a hiccup with this ad from Ontario. Nation building projects round two to be announced in the next couple of weeks. Mark Carney meeting with China this week. A lot of moving parts with the federal government. Lots of squeaking noises in those movie parts, too. So here with his can of WD-40 is our friend, Tom Korski, managing editor for Blacklock's Reporter. Tom Korski, thanks for taking the call.
Oh, my pleasure, Evan. Thank you.
I'll ask you the question. Did you stay up late last night? Did you watch the whole game?
I'm astonished you young people stayed up till the 14th. That's way too late for me. I haven't stayed up that late even on New Year's Eve. I can't remember. Oh, no, Evan, pretty much after 9:30 at night, I'm catatonic. Like, I'll sign anything you put in front of me. That's just,
well, especially for you folks down east, that was a late game for sure, and maybe not coming up, obviously, the way we'd like to see. But, hey, it's only two. That's only two losses. We've still got lots of ball ahead of us, so go Jays.
It's a tough game. I used to say I did a little bit of coaching when the lads were young, and there's nothing harder in sport than hitting a round ball with a round bat. It is something to watch.
Yeah, it is.
It is
for sure.
Intense sport.
It's bringing the country together. You can feel that, and I feel like that's something we could use right now. So on that note, let's start with the infamous Ontario Ronald Reagan ad. So many people are saying elbows are up, but the elbows are hurting Canada more than anything else. How do you see this whole situation?
I don't want to be unkind or use rough language regarding the Premier of Ontario, but he has somehow moved himself to the front of the line ahead of Parliament when it comes to dealing with this really vexing and complicated problem. And whether it's Doug Ford trying to pour out Crown Royal because he didn't know it comes from Manitoba, my home province, or whether he is slapping a 25% export charge on electricity to Michigan, and then literally the next day changing his mind and apologizing. It's a little bit uneven, but he seems to be filling this vacuum. Evan, the cabinet awarded itself a 13-week summer recess. The Commons Trade Committee is trying to address these issues that are going on in these very complex negotiations. But that's really insufficient, isn't it? So you think if you're the Prime Minister of Cabinet, you tell the world, why wouldn't you get out there? This is the strategy. This is where we're headed. Follow me. And there doesn't seem to be that going on. Instead, so there's this sort of ad hocery, forgive me, occasional buffoonishness by Doug Ford. I mean, no one in my hometown voted for Doug Ford. And you know where I'm heading.
I do know where you're heading. And I mean, it begs the question, a couple of things. It begs the question, is Carney the guy to get a deal done with Trump? I plan on talking about this during open lines. I feel myself losing quickly my optimism that he is the guy. I feel like we've seen some countries make some trade deals. Canada's not one of them. Do you have thoughts?
He set the standard. Didn't he set the standard? He said, I'm the man to get it done. I know this is an arcane point. When that happened, You read accounts of R.B. Bennett, Prime Minister from Calgary, who by all accounts was a very hard-working, intelligent, and diligent man. And he was drawn to ruin because he said, I'm the man, I will solve the Depression, vote for me. And that's what Carney did. I am the man. I will get it done. And he's not getting it done, and he's spending a suspiciously amount of time out of the country not getting it done. Evan, he set that bar high, and that's a high bar. But he set it, and he's not meeting it.
Tom Korski is our guest, managing editor, BlackRock's reporter. So lastly on this topic, do you expect that there were some terse words between Carney and Ford in a back room or on a telephone conversation somewhere? Publicly, he's being kind of dismissive of the whole thing. Do you expect that there was a bit of friction there?
Well, hopefully there was. I hope that someone laid down the law. But, you know, just today, just before we spoke, there was a request from the opposition for an emergency debate on this turmoil that's going on, and it was turned down. This is in the House of Commons. We always say, Evan, whether you voted for your MP or not, your MP is the only friend you have in this town. No one else, no judge or the bureaucracy, they're not going to take your call. And so it's all about Parliament. I don't know why there is a resistance to have Parliament express itself on these opinions and guide it instead of Doug Ford from Etobicoke. But that's where we are.
Mm-hmm. So I want to shift gears because we are going to see the budget coming up next week. Now, between nation-building projects, we're going to hear phase two probably in the next 2 weeks. We've already committed to defense spending. I'm hearing huge numbers in terms of this year's deficit. What are your expectations, Tom, what we're going to hear with the budget next week?
I think it's going to be a real dumpster fire. You're right on the deficit. I've heard the same figures you have. Anywhere from 60 to 80 billion. Some have said a $100 billion deficit. That seems a little hot, but even if it's over 60, by comparison, outside of pre-pandemic times, the biggest deficit in Canadian history was $55 billion. That was Jim Flaherty after the 2008 financial panic, and everyone was upset. It was the end of the world. And now we're spending money for really no apparent reason and missing deficit targets last year, pre-Trump tariff, by 56%. I mean, a target doesn't mean anything. And they're coming up now, what are we up to, 18 years since Parliament balanced a budget. That's very, very serious. Those debt services costs, Evan, are now going to eclipse, forget the military budget, they're going to eclipse federal transfers for health care. I mean, that's waiting lists. And that money's gone.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, something to watch for. The Cabinet cannot get its budget through the Commons Finance Committee without a bloc or a conservative vote. That's just where the chips are. And that committee just rewrote Cabinet's first budget bill. This was the income tax cut that was tabled in June. It literally just passed the committee. That's where the hammer will fall. It will not be in the House of Commons. There will be no fake drama over a possible election. I think that MPs are going to slice and dice that budget in committee.
Interesting. You actually read ahead on my script because that was going to be my next question. Will this trigger an election? I can't imagine anyone wants an election right now, other than maybe Mark Carney.
Well, even his cabinet has said, you're going to find out from Bank of Canada on interest rates tomorrow. Bank of Canada governor has laid it on the line, no recession this year. Tell that to a lot of sectors. What am I telling you for? There are a lot of people who say a recession is already underway. You would have to be out of your mind to go to the electorate this winter. But I think that it is also not in the opposition's interest to put that to the House of Commons, where there are still seven New Democrat MPs that can do what they've done in the past in committee, which was to be mother's little helper on very many liberal motions and bills. And I'll tell you, the cabinet is just getting beat up in committee. There's myriad examples. I don't want to yammer on, Evan. It just happened today. This afternoon, the House of Commons is going to pass a motion by the Ethics Committee to investigate the Prime Minister's vast stock holdings, including summons for questioning of his former business associates. That's what happens when you don't have the votes.
We're chatting today with Tom Korski, managing editor for Blacklock's Reporter. You know, I had a fair bit of experience in my past life working on municipal budgets. And so I know and understand that there's the operating budget, there's the capital budget, but I also know essentially all the money is coming from one big bowl. Federally speaking, it's no difference. And we are hearing Mark Carney talk about he's splitting the operating and the capital budgets, and his focus is on balancing the operating budget in 3 years. Is this a big shell game, or is this a good move, Tom?
100% three-card, Monty. It's an absolute shell game, and the feds do not feel constrained. Capable of getting quite emotional on this subject. They don't feel constrained by the same discipline that applies to local authorities, the humblest county school board, the irrigation district for the municipality, have more stricter budget rails than the federal government. Who tables a budget 7 months into the fiscal year? Who has gone 1 year without even presenting a budget? That happened. They miss their targets year over year. And they have we actually have a debt servicing, a debt ceiling in this country. It's called the Borrowing Accountability Act, and they have increased that debt ceiling by $1 trillion in the last term. What municipality could do such a thing? The bondholders would be up in arms. Mm-hmm. They're in very bad shape now.
Last question, Tom, because we're coming up at the end of our segment, but today it's actually 1 year, the anniversary of our provincial elections. So Premier Scott Moe, the SAS party, reelected for another term as of 1 year ago today. Your thoughts on what you see coming out of our province, maybe how we are interacting with the federal government?
Lawsuit on the carbon tax collection on natural gas, I think is a big deal. And a representative of the old saw, we always say in Ottawa that premiers run the show. They just do. That's just the fact. And there was a serious lack of consultation by cabinets in dealing with premiers, and they're going to pay the price for that and are doing so now. It's not a good idea. You really have to talk to people who drive the engine.
It's we are seeing, you know, a bit of a different tone, I would suggest, from Premier Scott Moe. He is much more willing to sit down and talk with Prime Minister Mark Carney than his predecessor, no doubt about that. But I would say you're right, whether it's carbon tax, the firearm legislation, there's still lots of areas where we're very far apart.
Oh, sure. And everyone's friends until the budget tables. Then everybody runs to the exit. Wait until you see the dollars and cents. Oh, it won't be pretty.
Tom, we always appreciate you giving us some time. Thanks for checking in this morning.
Thank you, Evan.
Tom Korski, managing editor for Blacklock's Reporter. A great opportunity for you to check out. If you want to know what's going on in Ottawa, you can go to their website, Blacklock's Reporter. Always up to date on the latest happenings out of Ottawa. We're going to take a break. We'll come back getting ready for open lines this morning here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.